Hey, audit friends and family. Have you ever heard the old saying, you know what you do when you assume? Well, if you haven't, Google it, because today we are going to talk about assumptions on episode number 62 of Audit Bites. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Audit Bites, the podcast that helps auditors become awesome. Join us for bite-sized info and education to excel in your auditing career.
Well, all right, friends, you've heard the question that I asked. Have you ever heard the old saying, you know what you do when you assume? Because today on Audit Bites, we are going to talk about, well, assumptions. Auditors should be cautious. Auditors should be cautious with assumptions. Auditors should be cautious with assumptions. So the question that I have for you today, because, well, what would an Audit Bites episode be without a question for the day? The question that I have for you today is, have you ever made an assumption only to realize that you were wrong? So you've seen the title. Again, today is all about assumptions. And so the question I have for you today is, have you ever made an assumption only to realize that you were wrong? If so, let me know. Type a yes in the chat. Give this a thumbs up. If you want to drop into the chat what that assumption was, you can do that as well. Now I'm also going to start off today with something that I hope is not too controversial. To some, it might be. I don't think it is. But when it comes to assumptions, I believe that they are neither good nor bad, but they can be good or bad, depending on how we use them. Assumptions are neither good nor bad, but they can be good or bad, depending on how we use them. I mean, we're auditors here, and we're asked to make assumptions quite regularly. Now, some of you are probably saying, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We are asked to gather facts, data, and statistics. True, we are. But we're also asked to make logical conclusions based on those facts, data, and statistics. Right? So I have another question for you. Have you ever done something silly or stupid simply because everyone else was doing it? Have you ever done anything silly or stupid simply because everyone else was doing it? Let's go to the audience for just 1 minute and see our friends joining us today. Clarence, my man, always good to see you. Leslie, good morning from New York. Leslie, I watched your live the other day. It was really good. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. The days are just running all together. Assumptions really do keep you in business. Yes, they do, because if you guys don't know Leslie, she's a conflict strategist. And most conflicts are due to people having assumptions. So what I want you to do is hold on tight. Today's episode is going to be a little bit longer than normal because I have a real live case study we're going to look at where some people were making some assumptions and assume some things that really make them look a little bit interesting. And it's going to be a live case study that we're going to do. So I apologize for the length. It's probably going to be about an hour today, not 30 to 45 minutes. Heather, how you doing, my friend? Very good to see you. Heather says, of course she's done silly things because she's human. Well, Heather, some auditors aren't human, though. I mean, Daniel, my man, good to see you here again. And now Leslie saying, yeah, I do make assumptions. They can be helpful when we remember that they are not the facts. Right? Exactly. Exactly. Now, for those who are stuck on the side of we should never make assumptions, we should know everything, we should never assume that something is right simply because someone else is doing it, we should always ask questions. You know, I believe in the power of asking questions. However, we all make assumptions in life. Have you guys seen the elevator experiment where they had a man step into an elevator and he was faced in the wrong direction? So instead of or in the opposite direction that most of us face, because who's to say what's right or wrong, right? He was facing the wall, not the doors that opened to the elevator. And so he rode the elevator for quite some time, faced in this direction. And something strange started to happen. As other people started coming onto the elevator, instead of turning around and facing the door, they started to face the opposite direction, just like this man. And before you knew it, everybody was riding in the elevator, looking at the back wall instead of the entrance slash exit where the doors actually opened. Now, I imagine that these people assumed that this man knew something that they didn't know. And they assumed that maybe in this elevator, you stand this way. Who knows? Maybe something magical would appear in the wall behind them. Who knows what their reasoning was, but they followed this gentleman. If you don't believe me, look it up. It's on Google. They have the video evidence of this. And it was just the amazing thing that I noticed. This man stepped into the elevator, turned the wrong way, and other people came in and began facing the same way this gentleman was facing. And before you knew it, everyone was turned the wrong way. Now, why do I bring this up? Because we all do things based on assumptions. We like to gather as many facts, data, and statistics as we can, but at the end of the day, we have to draw a logical conclusion, and we can never have perfect information. It does not exist. Now, for us auditors, we have something called professional skepticism. It's written all in our standards. Professional skepticism simply means drawing conclusions based on the data that you've collected and walking logically down a road to come to some sort of an outcome. So we're asked regularly and frequently to make assumptions, but not just any old assumptions. We're asked to make logical, rational conclusions based on the facts, data, and the statistics presented. Good to see you, Karina. And my man, Gabe. Gabe is asking, is this the real Robert Berry? AI has improved a lot. This is not AI Rob this time, Gabe. This is the real Rob. Hey, listen, man, it's been a long time. We need to catch up. So let's try to hop on a call and catch up sometime this week or next week, man. Miss talking to you. All right. So with all of that said, assumptions are neither good nor bad. However, they can be good or bad depending on how we actually make the assumptions. Now, what I'm going to do next is show you all a conversation that I had with someone on LinkedIn. Now, I don't do this to make fun of or to talk badly about someone. I do this strictly for educational purposes, and I think that every auditor should watch this episode because, my goodness, this is a very interesting conversation, but it speaks to the power of assumptions in both good and bad ways, but it also should serve as a lesson to us auditors, and I would say a lesson in what we should not do when we talk to our audit clients, a lesson in what we should not do when we talk to our audit clients. So give me just one moment to set the stage for this situation. So you guys know I post on LinkedIn quite regularly because, well, I just like to do it. I find that the interactions that we have with others allows us to learn. A lot of people think I do it because I'm saying, this is what I know. I do it because a lot of it is my opinion and I'm looking to either validate it or prove it wrong. Notice I said validate or prove it wrong. So I look at things that I post as learning opportunities for me and for anyone else, especially if I make a mistake. Now, the other day, I posted something on LinkedIn that to me was, I liked it. It was quite interesting. So I posted it. Now I'm going to share it with you all. Some of you may have already seen it, but let's have a conversation about it. So I asked the question, do useless rules deserve to be followed? Do useless rules deserve to be followed? Did you know that in the state of Florida, it is illegal to sing in public while wearing a swimsuit. Imagine you're at the beach soaking up the sun and suddenly you feel like belting out your favorite tune. You could get in trouble. Now let's pivot a little bit from this. Imagine auditors reporting karaoke bars at the beach for non-compliance with this law. That sounds kind of crazy, right? Getting in trouble for wearing a swimsuit while singing. Well, sometimes auditors do exactly that with corporate policies. We audit for compliance without asking if those policies are actually effective or beneficial. Now, I personally think we must challenge outdated and ineffective rules. So ask yourself, does this rule truly serve its purpose, or is it just another dude singing at the beach? I truly believe that we must rethink unnecessary laws and evaluations. But how, you might ask, how? How do I do it? Well, first, I rethink the necessity. I understand the impact. I leverage a little bit of common sense, and then I evaluate this thing for effectiveness. And for those of you listening and not watching, those actually spell out the word rule. Some rules are truly unbearable. And then I ask the question, what is a crazy corporate rule that you've had to follow? And then at the bottom, have a nice little picture of me with a bear. Rules are unbearable. I really need a rim shot there, right? So what I want to ask you all listening, did that make sense? What did you think I was saying in this particular post? What did you think I was saying in this particular post? Now, let's go back to the audience for just one moment. And my man Gabe says, I assume a lot and it gets me in trouble. Should I be more skeptical? Hey, it depends, right? If it's getting you in trouble, then maybe so. And then Heather says, those blue laws are crazy. Now, Heather, this is right here with you in the state of Florida. It is a crazy law, but what did you think I was saying by that? Was I saying, here's a pop quiz, was I saying that we should just abandon all laws, rules, and regulations that we deem to be stupid? Or was I saying that we should kind of question what we're doing to see if things are still relevant? Was I saying that we should question what we're doing to see if things are still relevant? Which one do you think I was saying? I know what I think I was saying, but I'm just curious. What did it sound like I was saying here? Now, let's go back for just one moment to what I actually said. I said, we must rethink unnecessary laws and evaluations. And to do that, we got to rethink the necessity, understand the impact, leverage common sense, and evaluate the effectiveness. So based on that, what do you think I was saying? But I also said, go back up just a little bit further. I also said, ask yourself, does this rule truly serve its purpose, or is it just another dude singing at the beach? So now, I'll tell you what I was saying. Question things. There are certain laws, rules, and regulations that were written years ago that no longer have relevance today. So we should ask ourselves, does this make sense? I think every good human being should ask questions. I mean, if you think about it, in the United States of America, it was legal to have slaves years ago. Now, if we never question law, rule, or regulation, then we would still have slavery in this country, right? Does that make sense, or am I the crazy one? Now, Heather says, we have a few rules at work that are questionable, and we've been trying for change, but have deaf ears for the last few years. That is truly sad, my friend. And Leslie says, rethinking is important to do on a routine basis, don't you think? Yes, I do think. I do think. Thank you for saying that, Leslie. I think if we don't question ourselves periodically, then we end up what my grandmother used to call stuck on stupid. So now, I want to introduce you to a conversation that I had with someone. And again, I don't say this to disparage this individual. So don't take that as this. I say this as an educational opportunity for all of us because, well, I could be wrong, although I highly doubt it. So I had someone attack me verbally. Because there's a difference between asking a question and really just trying to be mean and nasty. But he said, now, let's pivot a little further. Then one auditor may come into conclusion that reporting a conflict of interest does not make sense at all. Okay. So what if it is against the policies? Then another auditor may come into the conclusion that performing real audit does not make sense as it interrupts the business. What? Starts faking it. Sounds crazy, right? Now, you notice he's trying to mimic the way that I actually wrote mine when I said sounds crazy. But what he's saying really does sound a little, okay, never mind. Then he says, we live in a crazy world. Those are real life examples from around the world I have seen with my own eyes in my younger days. I don't really understand what examples he's trying to paint because you don't get a sense of the story he's trying to portray. But let's get down to the bigger point here. Then he says, better not to deviate from the standard. So in other words, if there's a law, we shouldn't deviate from it at all. He says, if the standard does not make sense, change it. Okay, wait a minute. So should we do what he said in his first sentence and not deviate from it, or should we change it? Which one should we do? Because I'm very confused here. So now, then he goes on to say, but keeping the standard as is and expecting auditor to give up objectivity is very interesting and very common phenomenon. I actually don't understand what that means. So I actually asked for clarity. Then he says, if subjectivity is the new awesomeness, I personally do not have any interest in becoming an awesome auditor. I prefer to remain objective. It is a personal choice. Now, in that last few sentences, he was really taking a shot at me because my headline says I help make auditors awesome because I'm an auditing trainer. So here's what I will say. Anytime you deal with people who start doing ad hominem arguments and attacks with you, you know that you're dealing with an interesting person right off the bat. There was no need to try and attack me personally here, but let's move on. So he says, let's go back to if subjectivity right here, if subjectivity is the new awesomeness, I think asking a question about something is being objective, not subjective. But okay, so now here we are. So now, what do you guys think so far about this conversation and this dialogue that we're having? Because I think it's completely off the rails, but it gets better because I'm the auditor known for asking better questions. And so I decided to ask a few questions. But before we get back to the questions that I asked, let me tell you or show you what someone else said in the middle of this conversation. Because I think she was a little confused too. She said, hey, I agree that we need standards and we need to follow them. And to that, I do agree with her, but let's continue. However, companies should from time to time revisit and update their policies and standards to reflect real life expectations and not become a burden to its operations. I think as an auditor, you have to flag the outdated policies, standards, etc. I think reviews and updates are/should be part of good governance and risk management. And to that, I agree 100% with this young lady. As a matter of fact, what I said to her was, if you look right here, I said, yeah, that was the point. And I gave it a thumbs up, to which she gave a thumbs up. So I think this young lady hit it directly on the point. We should 100% look at policies, procedures, laws, rules, and regulations from time to time to see if they are rational, logical, reasonable. But after having this individual truly try to make fun of what I do, I said, well, let me just ask a question, because as auditors, when you're confused about something, you ask a question. So let's show you the question that I asked. Right here in the center of the screen, I said, did I suggest doing away with objectivity? Did I suggest doing away with objectivity? Now, what do you all think? Was that a fair question to ask? I mean, he accused me of doing away with objectivity. He accused me of quite a few things there, which sounded kind of interesting. But he said, you know, that one thing was I said we should do away with objectivity and be subjective. So that was the question that I asked. And I think that that was a very reasonable, logical, and rational question. You guys ready to see what the response was? If you're ready to see what the response was, give me a thumbs up in the chat. Say yes. Give me a little something. Now, before I show you what the response was, I am Robert Berry, also known as That Audit Guy. I've been a chief auditor for many, many years, and I've been in the auditing profession for almost 30 years, and currently I am an audit trainer. I've written a best-selling book called Ask Better Questions, Get Better Answers, Perform Better Audits, which does quite well on Amazon. If you or your IIA chapter or your organization are looking for a trainer to come in and help your auditors, train them on some really good things, go to my website, check out my course catalog, give me a call, let's have a conversation. Now, Sri, you know I can't put that on LinkedIn. It's fine on YouTube, but Sri has some colorful words to say over on YouTube. By the way, if you've not subscribed to my YouTube channel, go do so, please. Leslie just smiles because Leslie sees the conflict and she wants to see how I strategize to resolve this conflict. Leslie, we probably should talk afterwards because you can tell me how good or bad I did. I'm sure that there are a lot of pointers you're going to have for me. Now, Juliet Gust is here and she gives a thumbs up because she's ready to see his response. Are you guys ready? All right, here we go. So he says there are 3 points. Now, three points, you all. First point is I personally read the text as a kind, indirect invitation to subjectivity. Okay, let me just get on through all the points before I go back and take each one. Second point is there is also a tendency in real life not to touch the outdated standards, but expect auditors to close their eyes in case there is non-compliance to those standards. Then deviating from standards turns into a habit. It is normalized. Dangerous part is auditors having some same habit. Third point, I also have to add that in my domain, most of the time there is a reason for a standard to be in place, even when it does not sound logical at first. For the ones who do not understand the background of such standard, one does not follow, auditor does not address, when in his personal subjective opinion, the standard does not make sense. Then news starts discussing about why an aircraft is crashed, why a fleet is grounded worldwide. I'm an auditor in aviation industry where standards, regulations are written in blood. Ooh. I just respectfully prefer objectivity evaluating in those standards are followed or not. In case I am invited to personally evaluate first if standard makes common sense or not before addressing the non-compliance, I prefer not to accept the invitation. Now, let me say, I do believe English is probably not his first language, and I know I probably sounded like a bumbling idiot trying to read some of this, but there were typos all throughout. And if you're not watching on YouTube or LinkedIn, go to YouTube or LinkedIn so that you can see the actual response. So I'll say a couple of things here. I always say that auditors should study psychology. I've taken some courses in handwriting analysis and also in psychology just to gain a better understanding of human behavior because we have to know that when we're auditing. So for those of you who are listening and not watching, all of this was written in one paragraph. No spaces, no breaks, nothing. All of this was one big paragraph. Now, there are a few other things I believe. I believe that when people have the opportunity to sit down and write something, your best self should show up. What do I mean by that? You have the opportunity to write it, sit down, take a step back, come back to it, and look at it again. You have the opportunity to edit, reevaluate what it is that you're saying. The best you should show up in the things that you write. Now, when you look at live podcasts like this, I might missay or misstate a word. I might misspell a few things if I'm typing on the fly because this is on the fly. Your communication in writing should be better than the spoken. But again, I do believe that English is probably not his first language, so I'm not here to make fun of this individual. I'm here to break down situations involving assumptions and also conflict. So now, let's go back to his first point. He said, I personally read the text as a kind, indirect invitation to subjectivity. Well, if that's how you read it, you are wrong. And people who are objective would ask a question before making a statement. My grandmother used to tell me, always ask questions, don't question people. Let that sink in for one moment because those are two totally different things. So that's the first thing. With his second point, I have no idea what he was trying to say, but here's what I actually got from it in reading it. From a psychological standpoint, this gentleman probably is very passionate about his work, and he's seen some things that has upset him in the past in doing his work. I get that. I've seen some things that have been horrible, and I've tried to report them, and I've had management teams just tell me no. So for that, I actually empathize. But now let's go back to his third point, which actually makes a lot of sense, and you'll see how I responded to that. He says, I also have to add that in my domain, most of the time, there's a reason for a standard to be in place, even when it doesn't sound logical at first. Completely agree, which is what I actually said in the beginning of the post. You've got to question these things to find out the historical context. Now, Shree says he needs a nap. I'm pretty much with you on that. And Leslie, thank you so much for your kind words. Leslie says, you're doing great on your own. I've learned a lot from you today and all the days before. Thank you, Leslie. I really do appreciate that because I really do think that in order to be a decent human, we have to try and first empathize with other people and understand where they're coming from, but also call out their bull crap when they have bull crap. We live in a society now where we tolerate people's crap. And so the crap just piles up and then it leads to entitlement. But anyway, Leslie says, P.S. I love the wisdom you share from your grandmother. Yeah, I think I do it so much because I really miss her. She passed in 2017 and then my remaining grandmother passed just last year. But I grew up around a lot of older people and man, they would say things that just really, they made a lot of sense. So now, let me show you how I responded to this mini tirade because I was really confused and really wanted to get an understanding of this person's thought process. So I responded by saying, very interesting. So asking if something is still relevant is subjective because I'm trying to figure out what's subjective here, right? So then I said, acting subjectively is your response after I asked, did I suggest doing away with objectivity? Your response was, I personally read the text as a kind, indirect invitation to subjectivity. Well, that, my friend, is making an assumption, and you know what you do when you assume. So then I went on to say, that, sir, is an assumption. And it is not remotely close to what was directly said. However, asking a question to gain clarity is what objective people do. Subjective people leap to conclusions based on feelings. Now, let me stop here and say, I don't want you all to let a conversation linger for this long like I did. I did it simply because I knew it would make good content and a lesson learned for me as an instructor. When you see that people are kind of overly emotional, you got to learn when to cut your ties. But I let this one go for you all to benefit from. So then I said, regarding your third point, we are very much in agreement here. And I quoted what he said. Most of the time, there is a reason for a standard to be in place, even when it does not sound logical at first look. I go on to say, of course, there is usually a reason for a standard existing, and we should understand the reason it exists. That is perfectly reasonable and understandable. Maybe the reason is no longer relevant. And I give an example. I say, for example, in one of the U.S. states, it is illegal to carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket. The reason? People would use it to lure horses away from owners. This was a time before cars, when horses were the primary means of transportation, right? I go on to say, a good law then, a stupid law now. By your logic, police should arrest anyone still carrying an ice cream cone in their back pocket today. That law is actually still on the books in several U.S. states today. Now, I don't know about you all, but I think that that is a stupid law. And I would venture to guess that if anyone were to walk down the street with ice cream cone in their back pocket, they probably will not be arrested. So, Leslie, how did I handle that situation? Now, Leslie says that point is on the mark. Asking questions to gain clarity and understanding is being objective. When we stick to our assumptions without asking questions to learn more, we are being subjective. That's kind of what I thought. And you know what? Here's what's funny, Leslie. I actually went to the dictionary and looked up both words because I was thinking, wait a minute. Am I confused here? I actually did second guess myself for a minute, which I think too, most times decent people do second guess themselves and then you seek truth. Whereas, well, I'll just put a pin in that and I won't say anything any further. So that was my response. Would you all like to see the counter response? Now, I want you to hold on tight because, again, like I said, this is going to be a longer than normal episode. What I'm going to give you is 6 benefits of assumptions as well as 6 dangers of assumptions. But we're going to break down this case first because this is quite interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. So let's take a look at the response from that. And if you've forgotten where we are, I kind of responded back saying, really? I made an assumption? And I was subjective? Okay, well, let's see. So, Heather says, people will just think you are crazy if you have ice cream in your back pocket, not breaking any law, but times have changed and so must we. Kind of my thought too, Heather. Now, Leslie is saying, yes, I definitely want to see his reply now. Okay. Without further ado. He says, seeking relevance, and then in quotes, by inviting people not to follow rules when they do not seem to make sense is invitation to bias. And I find this against the objectivity in auditing. I shall repeat. In my domain, not following standards may be a fatal mistake. Now, my friends, you can see my response right up under that. I asked, when did I suggest people should not, I said, but that was a typo, follow rules. Please show me. Please show me. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I said a little bit more. Hold on, you guys. I got to go to the actual post now because I was pulling it up in a PDF, but I think I forgot to push the see more button when I asked that question. Whew. Oh, goodness. This is getting very interesting here. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, wait. Nope. That's not it either. Sorry, you guys. Let's go. Oh, here we go. So, let's go back and start back in the beginning. He said, seeking relevance by inviting people to not follow rules when they do not seem to make sense is an invitation to bias. So my question was, when did I suggest people not follow rules? Please show me. I suggested that we ask if it's still relevant. Those are 2 completely different things. I think that's a rational question. Don't you think so, Leslie? Don't you think so, Heather? So the response to that was, he quoted me when I asked the question in the beginning of the post, do useless rules deserve to be followed? So apparently that question is a suggestion that people should not follow rules. My response to that was, isn't that a question, not a statement? And the answer to that question could be yes, no, or maybe. And the text that followed answered that question. An invitation would be the following sentence: stop following stupid rules. So again, when did I suggest that people should not follow rules? All right, now I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like I said earlier, in your real life, do not let conversations linger this long. Don't. I did it again because I knew it would make good content for me as a trainer to give you all a hands-on look at how people actually think. So I want to say a couple of things. One, can you imagine being audited by this person? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine having a conversation where you disagree with this person? Can you imagine? Okay, before I say that, let me just go back one more time. To let you know where we are now. Let's catch back up. So I was accused of suggesting that people don't follow the rules. And this sentence apparently suggests that people don't follow rules. It was an invitation for people to not follow rules. I said, do useless rules need to be followed? Do they deserve to be followed? That was a question, not a statement. Now, let's move forward and walk back to where we are. Here's an individual who's in the aviation industry that says that their rules are written in blood and should not be changed for no reason whatsoever. Now, I can sympathize with that because you can tell from the way that he was writing it, some things have happened to him in the past. He's probably been reprimanded for things where they thought he was wrong and he actually was right. And so this person is very stubborn and steadfast in his position. I will say what I said in the beginning. My position is we have laws and rules and regulations for a reason. They should be followed. However, they should be periodically reviewed to determine if they are still relevant and reasonable. Let me give you a good example of what I mean, directly related to this individual's industry. When I was young, I remember space shuttles would go into space and send people to do spacewalks. The Space Shuttle Challenger disaster happened on January 28th, 1986. I was in like the fifth, sixth, or seventh grade then. It was caused by a failure in the rubber O-rings, a joint on the shuttle's right socket booster. The cold temperatures on the morning of the launch made the O-rings stiff, unable to seal properly. As a result, hot gas leaked through the joint, burning through the shuttle's external tank. This led to a complete breakup of the shuttle and a tragic loss of all seven crew members on board. Now, here's why I bring this up. There were early warning signs before the Challenger disaster. Engineers had raised concerns about the O-ring's ability to seal properly in cold temperatures as early as 1977. Tests showed that the O-ring erosion on previous shuttle flights indicated a potential issue. Despite these warnings, NASA did not address the problem adequately, which led to the shuttle disaster on January 28th of 1986. I remember sitting in a classroom. The teacher wheeled in a television so that we could actually watch this thing occur. And I saw this space shuttle explode in midair right in front of my eyes. Well, on television, obviously. There were standards in place. There were protocols, there were procedures. Certain people were trying to wave the red flag that these procedures were not adequate based on some research that they had. However, those procedures were written in blood, hey, my friend. And it cost the lives of seven individuals. So when I asked the question, do stupid laws deserve to be followed? It was a question to get us to think about laws, rules, and regulations. It was a question to get us to think about when we should actually ask questions about established laws, rules, and regulations. It was not an invitation for subjectivity. Now, I don't think anybody else besides this individual actually thinks that it was an invitation to subjectivity. What I want you all as auditors to think about is there are people like this in the world. There are other auditors who think like this. Now imagine how our clients feel having to try and explain a situation to an auditor who is irrational and unreasonable. It makes our entire profession look bad. Everyone has to make assumptions, but our assumptions should be based on questions that we've asked to obtain additional information. With that said, if you'd like to know how to ask better questions, get better answers, and perform better audits, go to Amazon and pick up my book by the same title, Ask Better Questions, Get Better Answers, Perform Better Audits. It reached the top spot in the Amazon charts in the financial audit category. It has received rave reviews worldwide, and I also have a training course in either 8 or 16 hours based on that book. Now, with all of that said, let's talk about assumptions. And I'm going to give you six dangers of assumptions. First danger of assumption is misinformation or errors. You see, relying on incorrect or outdated assumptions can lead to errors in judgment and decision-making, impacting outcomes negatively. When we make audit conclusions based on assumptions, sometimes we might have misinformation and sometimes we might have errors. But our second danger of assumptions is a lack of critical thinking. I want you to go back to the dialogue that I just presented and read through. Do you all think that there was some critical thinking going on there? Or do you think that there was an emotional individual who had a reaction to something? I saw an emotional individual, and I do empathize with whatever it is that he's gone through in the past that put him in this mindset. But it can be dangerous and detrimental. So the lack of critical thinking is the second danger of assumptions. You see, when assumptions are accepted without questioning, it can stifle critical thinking and reduce thoroughness of analysis, leading to less optimal decisions. Now, Leslie says, there's a place out in Long Island, which is a beach/summer community, where you can't eat ice cream in public. Oh, wow. Interesting. I wonder why. If you know why, let me know. Leslie also says, some people mistakenly hear a question as a statement or a suggestion. Now, Leslie, I do 100% agree with you. But after me asking two additional follow-up questions, if the light bulb didn't come on, something is really wrong. And that's what I mean by dealing with individuals who are overly irrational. There's some instability there. So I do agree with you. A lot of times we hear things, but I think good people can take a step back and be like, oh, which is why I said, sir, that is a question, not a statement. And I said it twice. So imagine being audited by that individual. Now, Heather says, it feels like he considers issues to be black or white, no gray area allowed. I thought about that too, Heather. Here's what's really interesting, though, and I'm going to have to scroll back up for just one moment and show you all one thing, because what I find really interesting, excuse me for one moment while I scroll. If we go back up here and things are supposed to be black and white, let's see. where's the part that think, well, I can't find it right now. But remember the part where we said these laws are written in blood. Then we turned around and said, but if they need changing, we have to change them. That in and of itself sounds, well, interesting. Because if your thought process is black and white, then it's got to be black and white. Now, let's take what you're saying, Heather, because I do kind of agree with you, but I just wanted to make that point. What we're actually saying here is things are black and white unless and or until I don't want them to be. And that is a dangerous mindset to have, an extremely dangerous mindset to have. Thank you, Karina. That's what I was trying to say. It's very contradictory, right? Extremely contradictory. But again, people like this exist in the world, and we have to know how to identify them, and we have to know how to coexist with them. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Do not let a conversation with a person like this last as long as I let it last. I did it strictly for content purposes because I knew that it would be a good lesson learned for you all. When you see things like this, cut your losses because it only goes downhill like a roller coaster from this point. Okay. So now let's go back to our dangers of assumptions. I said lack of critical thinking is our next danger. And so our third one is bias and prejudice. You see, assumptions can often be based on personal biases or stereotypes, which can perpetuate prejudice and lead to unfair treatments or decisions. I gotta tell you guys, most of you knew that I grew up in Alabama, Montgomery to be exact. Speaking of bias and prejudice, I promise you, when I went to elementary school, oftentimes you would see the Klan burning crosses and writing really bad things on the wall of my elementary school. That was based on biases and prejudice based on people who looked like me. They would have marches, rallies, all kinds of crazy things. So imagine if we took our biases and prejudices and used them for evil. That's kind of what you get, are things like that. So let's go to our next danger of assumptions. Our next danger of assumptions is you have communication breakdowns. I can tell you this exchange that I've had with this gentleman is definitely a communication breakdown, right? Assumptions about others, knowledge, beliefs, or intentions can lead to misunderstandings and communication breakdowns in personal and professional relationships. I'll go back and take it a step further. I just had someone directly tell me what my intention was for something that I wrote. They didn't ask, what was your intention? They directly told me what my intention was. As auditors, when we do that with our audit clients, we are missing out on golden opportunities to build good relationships with them. Communication breakdown. So now our fifth one is missed opportunities. Missed opportunities. You see, assuming something is not possible or worthwhile can lead to missed opportunities, as it can prevent individuals or organizations from exploring the potential benefits. And finally, our sixth danger of assumption is resistance to change. Resistance to change. If people assume that current methods are the best simply because they've worked in the past, it can create resistance to change and innovation. I'll give you a really good example. One of the most significant laws in the U.S. that granted women the right to vote was the 19th Amendment. The 19th Amendment was ratified on August 18th of 1920, and it prohibits the denial of the right to vote based on sex, finally granting women the right to participate in elections and have their voices heard in the democratic process. Now, here's the thing. If we said things should always be the way things always were, this never would have happened. So let me just get this straight. Our laws, rules, and regulations should be written in blood, like our gentleman said previously. How many of you actually believe that laws, rules, and regulations should be written in blood? I'm just curious. I just want to take a poll of the chat here. How many of you believe that our laws, rules, and regulations should be written in blood? Now, Leslie says, the why about the ban on public ice cream eating is to reduce trash. They eventually changed that old law to allow the eating of ice cream cones in public. And this is why knowing the historical context is important. Like, for example, if any of you guys have ever been to Singapore, if you've never been, I strongly encourage you to go. It is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. The weather is nice. The people are nice, but it is one of the cleanest places I have ever been. One of the reasons it's so clean is because they don't allow you to chew gum in Singapore. You can't even find it in stores. And if you remember, you can look up a story. There was a young man who was punished one time because he was chewing gum. The reason? They want to keep their country clean. And people tend to spit gum out. So some things that we think are stupid, we should not judge them before we ask a question. Now, Clarence says, Rob, this needs to be a communication training course. Well, I mean, it kind of is, right? I mean, most things that I do are communication training courses tailored towards us as auditing professionals, because quite frankly, understanding how to communicate is one of our most powerful tools that we have in our tool belt. Now, Heather is saying, nope, she doesn't believe it. The question that I asked earlier about laws being written in blood, should we not ever change anything or evaluate it first or ask questions about it first, then evaluate it and then determine if things need to be changed? Heather is saying, no, she doesn't believe that. Leslie is saying she agrees with Clarence on this. Leslie agrees with Clarence that this should be a communication course. Now, I will tell you, for anybody who's watching today, I do thank you. Spread the word to all your friends. Tell them to go sign up for the YouTube channel. If you give me a couple of days, this will be up on my website for sale for a small fee, and you can get your CPE certificate for watching the podcast. You have to give me a couple of days to really rip it and put it up on the website. Of course, the podcast is free, so you can tell people to go to auditbites.com or to my website, that auditguy.com, and you can find the YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to, right? Get me more subscribers. So now, those were the six detriments of assumptions. So next, we're going to talk about the six benefits of assumptions, because we all assume. I think good people try to get more information before they make assumptions and draw conclusions, but we all assume. Benefit number one, assumptions speed up the decision making. Assumptions speed up the decision making. You see, assumptions allow individuals and organizations to make decisions quickly without waiting for full information, which might never be completely available. There is no such thing as perfect information. There is absolutely no such thing as perfect information. Now, Karina says, rules written in blood goes against the continuous improvement, which we as auditors promote. I guess we should promote, Karina, because apparently not all of us Okay, I'm sorry. That was mean. I shouldn't have said it like that. I said that I wasn't gonna be disparaging about the previous comments, but hey, I'm human, so I guess I deserve at least one fallible moment, right? Trust me, I'll have a few more. I've been trying to contain myself this entire time. Okay. So now, your second benefit of assumptions is that it facilitates planning, right? We have to make assumptions about certain things as we're planning out anything, whether it's an audit project or a wedding. In strategic planning, assumptions about market conditions, customer behavior, or technological advances can help in creating a roadmap when certainty is not possible. Now, let me pause right here for just one moment, though, because as auditors, whenever we do make assumptions, it's very important that we document our assumptions. Document the assumptions that you've made so that you can go back and say, oh, I made this decision because these were the underlying assumptions that I made when making that decision. It's very easy for people to come in hindsight and criticize the decisions that you've made. However, if you and they understand the information that you had available to you at that particular time period, that actually helps understand the thought process when that particular decision was made. I talked earlier about it being illegal to have an ice cream cone in your back pocket. Well, during that time period, it actually did make sense. People would put the cone in their back pocket. The horse would follow the person, and then they would steal someone else's horse. Well, we don't use horses as our primary means of transportation nowadays, so that doesn't make any sense today. Now, Daniel says, it's actually interesting. Yesterday, I was watching a movie where a plane's engine was damaged by a bird. They had to do an emergency landing, but first follow emergency procedures from their manual guide. One of the first things he did was to switch on APC, which is the last thing to do in their emergency guideline procedure. But based on his extensive experience in flying, he made that decision and he was right. The air flight controllers told him to fly back, but the captain, I can't see the rest of what Daniel wrote, but I'm assuming he's going to go on to say that he made the right call by not following the rule because something that he saw showed him that he needed to do something a little bit different. So that goes back to the primary point. Do I advocate we break rules? No, but I advocate we understand our current situation and how the current laws, rules, and regulations apply to that current situation. Now, we as individuals don't have the authority to change laws. Not on the fly, right? But through protesting and, you know, lobbying and things like that, yeah, we do have some latitude to make changes happen. So now, our third benefit of assumptions is it stimulates innovation. Let's just be real. Making assumptions can lead to creative solutions. By assuming a certain condition or outcome, people might explore ideas they would not have otherwise considered. Think about all the inventions we've seen over time. People assume that a certain outcome would happen because of them doing a certain thing that went against the norm. I couldn't imagine the first time we discovered electricity. Like who discovered that and what actually happened? I venture to guess that that person probably didn't survive because, I mean, goodness, can you imagine? Anyway. Moving right along, our fourth benefit of assumptions is that it helps in modeling and simulations. You see, in many fields, particularly in finance and science, making reasonable assumptions is crucial for modeling scenarios and making predictions. If you think about it, we use models a lot in auditing. Anybody ever heard of or used Benford's Law? We use it a lot in data analytics, and it simply makes assumptions about a certain behavior. Now, our next benefit of assumptions is it helps us to allocate resources. They simply help us to allocate resources. What do I mean by that? Assumptions help in prioritizing and allocating resources effectively, especially under constraints or in uncertain environments. When we are building out an audit plan, we make assumptions all the time. We take some data and we assign risk to certain things. We assume that the assumptions we use to assign risk are correct, and then we place auditors on audit projects based on certain assumptions, whether that's their skill set, their availability, the time that they have available, the underlying risk within the organization. We have some reasonable sense of what the risks are, but we don't know with 100% certainty, so we make assumptions all the time. The sixth benefit of assumptions is that they are a basis for learning. When assumptions are tested and then confirmed or debunked, provide valuable learning insights which can refine strategies or theories. We learn all the time from the assumptions that we make in life. We learn all the time from the assumptions that we make on the job. Sometimes our assumptions are spot on. Sometimes our assumptions are dead wrong. But no matter what we do in life, we always make assumptions. This is episode number 62 of Audit Bites. Auditors should be cautious with assumptions. If you like this episode, do me a favor. Go over to the Apple App Store or over to YouTube and give it a like. Better yet, write a review. If you do write a review, screenshot it for me. Send it to me. You'll be put in a raffle to win a copy of my book. Now, Clarence says, Rob, I tell people all the time, perspective and perception goes hand in hand with assumptions. Ooh, now that's a mic drop right there, Clarence. I might have to steal that. That you know what, Clarence? You're going to see that on a clip, man. That was just beautiful. Clarence says, Rob, your point of view can mess up your understanding of something. Yeah, absolutely. Your point of view, especially when your point of view doesn't have any attempts at obtaining the facts. You just pull stuff. When you just pull stuff out of thin air, that can be dangerous and detrimental to all parties involved. Now, here's a rule of thumb that I also got from my grandmother. Leslie, if you're still here, you'll probably like this one too. She used to tell me, whenever you're dealing with someone, especially if it looks like it's going to be a contentious situation, if the first thing they do is make a statement versus asking a question, just run. It's not going to be a fruitful conversation because that's not someone who is open and objective. Now, if you go back to the way we started this podcast episode and I showed you the conversation between me and that gentleman, the first thing he did was make a statement. The first thing I did was ask a question. That's one telltale sign of someone who's not open and willing to collaborate in their communications with you. Now, Leslie says, agreed about the mic drop for what Clarence said about perspective, perception, and assumptions. Yeah, yeah. And I'll just say it again because this was great. Clarence said, Rob, I tell people all the time, perspective and perception goes hand in hand with assumptions. So how do we beat this? Well, we have to use assumptions constructively. We all have a bias towards something. But good people tend to ask questions. They tend to question their own bias. They tend to seek more information. Bad people tend to make statements and accusations, and they actually believe that their statements and accusations are true. Leslie says, another golden nugget from your grandmother about statements versus questions. Start with a question. Again, that is the primary reason that I wrote my book, Ask Better Questions, Get Better Answers, Perform Better Audits. My friends, I thank you for joining me on this and every other episode. I feel so grateful to have a group of people who listen and chime in and tell me when I'm right or wrong. I get a lot of emails from people saying thank you. And to that, I do appreciate it because I thank you for listening, because quite frankly, I'm just giving my opinions here about certain things. My opinions could be wrong. And oftentimes I learn from people when they voice their opinions on subjects too. With that said, this is the end of today's episode. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching this episode of Audit Bites. If you receive value from this podcast, do us a favor. First, tell other auditors. Second, give us a 5-star review. And finally, talk to Robert about training your auditors. Our contact information is on our website, www.thatauditguy.com. It's also where you will find our course catalog, on-demand courses, a kick-butt blog, other podcasts, Robert's best-selling books, and last but not least, audit merch. That's right, we have audit hats, shirts, mugs, and more. Thanks for watching and listening. See you next episode.